curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Ron's goal is to equip all listeners with the resources to always move forward in their journey. Welcome to today's episode of the Always Forward Leadership Podcast.
Welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Carla Winchester, and I'm thrilled to let you all know that for the next 6 weeks, we're going to be taking over by our Catalyst University speaker interviews. Ron had a chance to interview all of the Catalyst University faculty this year, and we're going to be featuring them for the next 6 weeks. So first up, this week, we're going to be featuring Propaganda. And Ron, I know you are a fan favorite of Propaganda. How much fun was it to actually talk with Prop in person?
So it's great. He is an amazing guy. So he's both a faith-based leader, but he's also a marketplace hip-hop artist who we caught him just as he was kicking off his North American tour. And he's become a friend over the years. So sitting backstage, there is some answers in his interview that absolutely shock me. And to get this hip-hop dreadlock guy backstage talking about the Talladega Nights is a rare and special moment. So I can't wait for you to hear him. And let's go ahead and just listen to Propaganda. Hey, I'm so pumped. We're backstage at Catalyst University. And I've got the one and only Propaganda with me. He's like my coolest friend. All right, I just got to say that. I'm a huge fan of his leadership. And I know you're going to be. Those of you who weren't with us today, I want you to gain some insight to what he shared with the folks here and what he shares every day. So first, thanks for being here.
Dude, thank you, man. You guys are rad. Thank you.
So how do you describe where you are at in your current leadership?
Yeah, I think currently for me, it's been a lot of like really learning how to like sort of, I don't know, to try to turn a phrase to sort of lead from behind, kind of just getting as low and as humble as I possibly can, willing to
you're the humble beast.
Is
your brand.
Yeah, just really like learning how to like listen better and sort of like really not see it as for myself, just as so like sort of linear and sort of Greco-Roman, if you will, like where like I'm the expert and these are apprentices and you know what I'm saying? Just really like kind of, hey man, be a better listener and sort of like point out the amazing in others and then say, what can I do?
You do a great job of that.
Yeah. What can I do to draw that out of you? Yeah.
And I think you two also do an incredible job. And I don't remember the title of one of your stories, your presentations, but it is about the abused spouse.
Yeah.
And so we were sitting there, about to cry.
Oh, man.
We were sitting there, a whole team sitting around, 30 of us sitting watching that. Mm-hmm. And I watched people wipe their eyes.
Wow.
And those of you who haven't seen that, go online at Humble Beast. It's there at YouTube.
Yeah.
It is one of the most powerful things.
Wow. Thank you.
And I shared that the other night. A bunch of people over at my house for a dinner party and said, man, I don't want to bring anybody down. Uh-huh. But all of you say, I heard every one of you say, well, why can't they just say all lives matter?
Yeah.
Why can't they just, I don't understand.
Yeah.
And it's nothing but ignorance. And ignorance is the enemy. And you do such an incredible job of pulling back that and say it's okay to admit you're ignorant. It's not okay to stay ignorant once you know the truth.
Absolutely. Nailed it.
I'm so grateful for your leadership on that.
Thank you for that. Thank you. Yeah. That's the beauty of like art. Like I try to pull from, you know, one of my patron saints would be like William Wilberforce and like the Clapton Group and just understanding your relationship to culture. So then out of that way of thinking, like I still think like what people like Langston Hughes did for our culture. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? So if you can try to like take something very, that might be unfamiliar and make it familiar, which is what the hope of that sort of poem was to say, now put yourself in this. You know what I mean?
It's awesome.
Thank you, man.
I'm off script already.
It's all good, man. It's all good.
Question. So,
yeah.
So how do you feed and protect your soul? A lot of leaders, we're all about lifting up leaders from the faith-based community and not-for-profit and education and local government, and they all have this same issue of they lose their soul in the grind of every day.
Oh, yeah.
How do you protect against that?
Man, that's a moving target because, you know, I need to do a better job at it. I'll tell you that. One thing I do is like I have, you know, really like real friends, you know, and real in the sense that I know they actually love me and real in the sense that they don't hold punches. You know, that's a big one for me. Creating rhythms of like of rest and like I take a week off every month off every year. I try to do like my own sort of Sabbath, like once a week.
Week off every month and a month off every year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in that, what are you doing in that time?
Yeah. So those are family time. It's home time that my wife and kids know like, hey, at least for 7 continuous days every month, dad's going to be here. But, you know, if you're a parent, you know, that's not really time off. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's right.
So like me and my wife try to do date nights once a month. I try to do weekly, like just like me times, and they can vary. You know, I was told to pick up a hobby that's not tied to your career. So you can like, you can afford to suck at it, you know? So like I got a couple of those that I'm terrible at, but they're fun. And yeah. So I just think like the big thing for me is like knowing that like off time is just as important as on time. And just like insulating myself from like constantly having to be the main guy in the room. And one of the other practices is like at my church, our pastoral leadership has an understanding that like I have no public facing role at our church. You know, I'm winding microphones, I'm helping in the kids ministry. Like, and that's one thing that was like a commitment to like, this is us caring for your soul.
And I get that. The worst experience I had in church was when they asked me to be the treasurer.
Yeah.
And knowing who complained the most and who gave the least.
Yeah.
Completely diminished. I had to go find a new church.
Yeah, I just can't couldn't. Do it. Yeah.
Yeah. I just couldn't be in faith journey with these folks anymore.
Yeah.
And it was really hard. So I appreciate having that.
Man. Yeah. Having that wall. And they want to walk in and somebody be like, hey, can I get a picture with you? And I'm just like, oh, I'm back at work. You know, and it's like, it's awesome. I mean, thank God people actually want pictures with me, but like at church, like, man, can I, you know, like.
Or hey, you know, my sermon's a little short. You got 10 minutes for me?
Hey man, can you cover this? I'm like, no, I'm exhausted. No, I can't cover this.
I want to sit with my kids.
I'm trying to sit with my kids and learn. Yeah. And yeah, they don't fidget. Like I'm plucking my daughter's back of her ear. Pay attention. You know? Yeah.
So now this part's rapid fire.
All right.
So these are just kind of one or two word answers so people know who you are.
Yeah.
Get to the heart of it. So favorite color?
Green.
Favorite car?
Volkswagen Bug.
Nice. I like that. Yeah. First car?
A 96 Ford Escort.
You were rolling dirty.
Oh, man, it was bad. It was that little four banger. It was terrible.
Beat walking.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Favorite book?
Oh, man. Ooh, that's a tough one. Native Son, Richard Wright.
Oh, that is a great book.
Yeah.
Family's favorite meal?
Like breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or like
no, like food. What do you like to eat?
What do we eat? We eat a lot of probably chilaquiles. I married a Latina, so yeah, we're doing Mexican food.
What's your superpower?
Ooh, my superpower is, man, what's my superpower? I don't know, ruining moments, baby. that good, Ron? Like, what's a good? That's a good superpower. Yeah, ruining. Yeah, I can ruin a moment. I point at the awkward. That's my superpower. Notice the awkward and point at it.
Yeah.
Immediately.
All right, that I'll give you as a superpower. What's your on deck song? What's that song that gives you huge energy? Not one of your own.
Yeah, probably a Slum Village song. You think? Probably just some like obscure hip hop stuff. Either that, or some of the 80s like blue eyed soul music, like like some Sheila E's, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, some of that. Yeah, Sheila
Yeah, no, that's good.
Okay.
Cheeseburger or pizza?
I'm lactose intolerant. So neither of those.
All right.
Yeah.
Text or call?
Text me, please don't call.
Movie that you can watch over and over?
Oh, man. Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
All right. Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
So, okay. I don't get that one at all.
Oh, man. Because I'm so like brain full for all the time. So like I just like brainless things for entertainment.
And there you go.
Yeah, it's brainless.
Favorite space to work?
Oh, man. Probably the beach. I do a lot of work at the beach, yeah.
Favorite band when you're in high school?
Oh, favorite band in high school. I don't know who's going to hear this. Like it's kind of a toss up because there was two sides of me. There was like the Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
Wu-Tang Clan side, and then there was like the like probably Alanis Morissette.
Ah, nice.
Jagged Little Pill changed my life. I can't front.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Which actor is going to play you in the movie?
To the actor I want to play me.
All right, that's
Man, who's going to play me? That's a good one. Who could play me? What's homie's name from Moonlight? He won Best Actor. He's like the first like Muslim dude to win Best Actor. Mahershala Ali. That guy's, except he's a little too fit for me. He's a little too ripped for me. Okay, so I need a little toothpick. Okay, let me think of somebody else then.
Spike Lee.
Yeah, right?
I have to play a lot younger.
Yeah. Spike could play me.
Yeah. So I had Will Smith. I think Will Smith.
Yeah, nah, Will too. He too sophisticated. Yeah. Will look good.
He could play that. No, he could play it down.
Yeah,
dirty.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Will could play me. Will could play me. Yeah.
What mistakes the most? All right, that was rapid fire. Thank you. No prize. But what mistakes do most leaders most often make? And how can they avoid it?
I love it. I'd say I think it's the over and underestimating of yourself. I think, and I know that's what I've seen and was true in my life.
Like, oh, I think you got on. Talk more.
Yeah, you overestimate your value in a place, right? And then you start getting grabby if somebody else. And it's so ridiculous. Like, if you're running something, you shouldn't be the best person at every job because you're going to hire people better than you. You know what I'm saying? That's why they're like, you know what I'm saying? And be okay with that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's okay. I don't have to be the smartest guy in the room. I just have to know how to find the smartest people in the room. You know what I'm saying? So I think the overestimation of yourself and your importance in something rather than the fact that you're playing a role. And then I think the underestimation is, like not knowing your value. You know what I'm saying? And that, like, you do have something. You are unique. You are fearless. There's a reason why you're in the position that you're in. And I think when you undervalue it, like, one, it affects your financial situation, your bottom line, because you're not charging what you're worth, right? You're probably going to overspend, you know what I'm saying? Because you don't realize the equity you're actually bringing. So I think how you can avoid this is, I think a lot has to do with, like, having some good voices outside of, you know, you and your work that kind of, like, helps kind of adjust the rudder, you know what I'm saying, for you to get a good read on what you're doing, you know what I'm saying?
Who aren't making their living off of your
They don't
living.
Need me. Yes, exactly. A good read is somebody around you that doesn't need you, that's not on your payroll, that doesn't benefit or lose from your success. You know what I'm saying? Somebody that's in there that's like, hey, you're undervaluing yourself. Hey, you're overestimating yourself.
No, that's a precious gift.
Yeah, man.
If you had $5,000 to spend on developing your own leadership, how would you spend it?
Wow. Travel.
That's a great.
Yeah.
You know, Mark Twain said travel is fatal to prejudice.
Yes.
And that really means bias.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It's travel. I think some of the most amazing experiences have been like off stage, off the mic, the day before, the day after an event or something. You know, one recent one, Ron and I were on the Apache reservation. Apache, right? Yeah. Apache reservation. It's the day before we're playing. Just playing basketball with the kids. You know what I'm saying? Just walking around, just having fun, like
just hanging.
You know what I mean? And then one of the guys just kind of showed us around. You know, kind of telling us a few things. One thing he said two things. No, one was at the Apache. The other one was on a Crow Nation. But at the Apache one, the guy says, because I asked him, just like, tell me about your origin story. Like, I firmly believe, like, C.S. Lewis's idea, like that, like from Mere Christianity, that God gave humanity like good dreams. You know what I'm saying? So like his mentions or his hints of him are like splattered across culture. You know what I'm saying? So like, I'm always interested in like, tell me how you guys got to this place. What's your origin story? So he was explaining like, hey, this is kind of like our narratives like this. It's actually not much different than scripture. You know what I'm saying? And then he's like, now how we got to this reservation. He's like, there's some cave writings like kind of out there. Then he says, but you know, I mean, you can read that, but you know, oral tradition is probably more reliable than written. And I paused like, wait, say that again. He's like, yeah, oral. And he just kind of moved on. But just, he's like, I trust oral history more than written. It's more reliable. And I've never heard anybody say that phrase. And then I thought to myself, I remember talking to like my grandma and she would be like, they don't know what they're talking about. Let me tell you what happened. You understand what I'm saying? And how often I'm so quick to listen to grandmother. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, and just so having that experience just made me think, man, there's a whole other way to look at the world. You know what I mean? Another situation where I was, again, with natives, it was in the Crow Nation up in Montana. The guy goes, hey, man, you know, a lot of how this happened was like, in our ethos, like human beings, you can't own land because you didn't make it. You can't own what you didn't make. Like, the ground's a gift. It's a gift, and we're called by our creator to be stewards of it. I can't make you share it. You sharing it already. Like, this is just, is you already doing it. We're already sharing this. So maybe we should, like, understand that it's sacred. This is all we got. And if you're from the ground, you're from the soil, that means you're sacred. So I should value your life. You know what I'm saying? And like, oh my gosh. So for me, it's like, if I had like five, I'm like, look, I want to go travel and just, and this is just stuff that they're not like, these weren't like formal settings where they're trying, hey, let me show you how to have a worldview. It's just like, no, people just, we're just talking. They're just talking about how, you know, so for me, man, getting out, seeing that, and then just, and you train your eyes. I think one of the things for me, leadership is important too, is you got to train your eyes to spot the nugget. Like, it's
right.
Like, it's so for me, it's like, I'm hunting for it. I'm hunting for that just jewel. And you can snatch that out and go, oh yeah, I'm putting that one in my pocket. So for me, like, if I want to do that, and I'd want to bring that to people that I'm entrusted to lead, you know, to say, hey, like, have some other camera angles, like, see this thing's like play like 3D chess, and how you can do this. You just got to go hear other people. So yeah, it would definitely be travel.
That is an awesome answer. So if you want to hear more of Propaganda, Red Couch Podcast.
It's coming up. Yep. Red Couch is out. We're working on season 2 now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Red Couch. Love the podcast.
Thank you so much.
And you're on there with a lady who's smarter than you are.
I mean, running circles around me. Yeah.
So it is a great listen. Follow him at Prop Hip Hop.
My man.
Yeah. So
did your homework.
No, I like, no, this guy. I'm all about it.
Yeah, man.
Every day.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
So, Propaganda, thanks for being with us.
Man,
thanks
I am
for
honored.
Being our friend. Thanks for changing people's lives.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank
see
you.
Y'all.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. And if you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you and grow our impact. Make sure to tune in every Monday for a new episode of the Always Forward Leadership Podcast.